Folks, you and I can come to the Lord Jesus Christ just like we are. No pretense, no facade, a mask, or any covering of your life whatsoever. We can just come to God just like we are. The disciples had been sent out two by two. Jesus had instructed them in Mark chapter 6 exactly what they were to do. Specific instructions, if you read the verses preceding verse 31. But now we're sitting on the moment just before the feeding of the multitudes that had gathered around, over 5,000 people, at miraculous feeding of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the disciples, the 12, were tired. They were worn out. Ministry had taken its toll on them. They were exhausted to the point that they didn't even get a chance to eat. They were so busy. And the Lord came to them, and in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, is the most incredible verse I believe you and I can ever read together. Now, a few minutes ago, we read the first part of that verse. And I hope you have your Bibles with you and you've got them to right there at Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Mark, the first gospel writer ever to write the oldest gospel that we have today. And in verse 31, Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, "You come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." But I didn't put the second part of that verse in for your memory. But the second part is what I've already shared with you. "For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Have you had those times in your life where you feel like you are coming and going, and you haven't had time to eat? For me, that's most every week, and a lot of every day. Of moving at that kind of a schedule. But there are some things I want you to see this morning about what Jesus really said to his disciples that in these few minutes we're going to share together before we close. If you'll take these four things and put them to use in your daily walk, it'll revolutionize what you do as a child of God. It did for those disciples. Last Sunday, I talked to you simply about encouraging words of God, literally from Joshua, and I put it in the bottom of the inside of your bulletin just as a reminder to you that simply said, always remember, don't forget what I told you, love God. Had a lot of comments on that message last week of the encouragement that it was. I told you to be strong and courageous. It's what God said to Joshua. I reminded you that we're not to be dreadful or discouraged. God's our victor. We win. I reminded you that you and I need to be confident that I am Yahweh, the God of this universe, is forever with you. And then I reminded us last week from the Word of God that we are to remember God's holiness. We to understand the holiness, the power, the majesty of God. And this morning, I want to tell you in the next 4 weeks how I believe the Word of God tells us to do those four things. You see, there are four things I believe every spiritual Christian must do. All four of these things that I've listed for you in the outline in your bulletin, it's been on our PowerPoint as well, of each of these messages are imperatives. They are not suggestions from God. God did not suggest to those men that they come aside. He commanded them. And folks, if he commanded the 12 to do these four things, I believe it has a lot to say for me and you of commanding us to do the same thing. We live in such a world today that is fast-paced. We've got fast everything. Years ago, snail mail, as it's now become called in the U.S. mail service, was our only, pretty much the number one way of getting information from one place to another. And in this communication 21st century generation, we now have texting and email and podcasts, and I could go video conferencing and on and on and on. What used to take us days and perhaps weeks can now take only seconds to get information out. We are in a fast paced society. We've just finished this Christmas season. Many of you went to the mall, many of you went to the grocery store, many of you went to different Christmas parties, and you saw the hustle and bustle of when you were in a checkout line at the store, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Folks, those disciples were just give slap out. That's just all there is to it. They were exhausted. And I know every one of you are like me. We've all had that point in here where we just are give out, are just exhausted. And then they were standing on the eve of feeding 5,000 people with a little basket of food. And then Jesus comes to those men and he says, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest." I don't know about y'all, but I need to hear this for me. I need to hear God saying to Randy Cheek, "Randy, you just need to come aside by yourself to a quiet, deserted place and rest." And there are four ways to do it. In your outline are four ways. This is the way to do it. And these are very simple things. Folks, over these next few weeks, and I hope you see this, these are intentional messages to encourage the body. I've preached a lot of challenging messages to you over the last 3+ years. I've preached messages that I can know every one of them is Word of God. And oftentimes the Word of God is extremely harsh. It's offensive. Because it challenges us. It makes us feel uncomfortable in our sin. And I know that, but I'm charged of God with the responsibility to preach to you the whole gospel. And that's what I do. But as I prepared last year for these messages and began to look at what I believed in my heart God wanted me to preach, over these next few weeks and few months together, not that the messages will not be challenging, folks. That's what it's all about. But to tell you that God, I believe, has communicated to me through you all and through His Word and through prayer, encourage my body, Randy. They're worn out. They've done such good work. They're exhausted. Just encourage them. That's what I want you to do. So that's why these next four, eight, about 12 messages are meant to do one thing, to encourage you. That's not to say I'm not going to tell you about hell. That's not to say I'm not going to tell you about the judgment of God and who He is. But I'm going to tell you about the encouragement of God, because here's one of the prime times the Lord encouraged His disciples, was this one verse and four specific things that I see in that verse. And in particular, you'll see when you look in your outline that I've given you pretty much the four imperatives. Remember, these are not suggestions. The first imperative, the command, then the instruction, then the location, and then the purpose of what it means to come aside with the Lord Jesus. So here's the command. I bet you can fill in the blank already. Two words. The command is to come aside. Come aside. Now, when you look at that word, the word, not only is it in its imperative form, in the Greek language, it is in the aorist imperative tense, And for you folks studying grammar in school, the second person always translated y'all as what? You remember? If you're in the first person, it's I. If you're in the second person, it's translated how? You. Always. Well, in this verse, the Bible not only uses the word come, it uses that word in the aorist imperative. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But that word come means in the second person written as one word, come. In other words, you come. But the New Testament goes on to say, and Jesus writes this literally through the power of the Holy Spirit through Mark, he adds another word here. He adds a Greek word called humais. The only way the word humais is translated in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, is you. He's already used the word come, and then he uses the word humais, which means you come, you. What's it saying in the Greek? It's the emphasis upon you. What that means is that he's looking those 12 men right square in the eye, just like I'm looking at all of you all right now, right square in the eye, and he's calling them specifically by name, and he says, you, Doug, come. You, Linda, come. You, Karen, come. See what I mean? It's more than just come, it's calling you out specifically. God is doing the same thing for all of us in this house, in this hectic schedule, in this fast-paced 21st century where we're constantly moving. God's calling you by name and he's saying, Randy, come. But then he says, come aside. Karen is sitting right here. If I wanted to tell Karen something, I could stop what I'm doing and she could hear me clear as a bell if I was right here. But have you ever had those times where you simply want to share something with someone in your heart? You want to talk to that person? And maybe it's a private, maybe it's whatever conversation you want to be, but you want to speak a word of encouragement to Karen specifically. Well, what would I do? I could do that publicly. But as I have not only with Karen, but all the others on this staff and everybody else, I pull them aside or we're together and I say something to them specifically that encourages them. I pull them aside and I say, Doug, my brother, I am so glad you and Linda are right here in this church and I thank God for these two. And they know how I feel. Why do they know how I feel? Because I've not only told you, I've gone to these two personally, one-on-one together. They know how I feel. That's what it means to come aside. Come aside for the sole purpose of letting God speak. That's the command. Our command is that we come aside. Now, let me tell you the instruction. So here's those 12 men. The Lord Jesus said to them, come aside to me. You come with me. But then the instruction, in other words, how are you to come to me? Come, here's the second one. The second one says this in your outline, put the word come alone. Now, that doesn't mean we can't experience the presence of God collectively as the body of Christ. The Lord says, don't ever forsake yourself assembling together as the body of Christ. But folks, in such a hectic, fast-paced society that we live in, and remember, this was written in the first century. They didn't have computers then. They didn't have texting. They didn't have all the stuff that we have today. Fast checkout, everything we do. They didn't even have McDonald's. But yet this was written to the first century, and it reads today like it's something out of the Daily Marietta Daily Journal or Atlanta Journal Constitution written right this minute. We are commanded to come aside, but we are commanded to come alone. Now, that misspelling in number two there is my fault. It is not come along like this. It's come alone by yourself. I goofed and put a G, and you know how you do stuff, and then you just realize that I looked down there, and I said, that's not supposed to be a G, that's supposed to be an E, and I goofed. So that's my, so you change that, come alone. Yeah, I'll say that right. Why? God wants to have fellowship with Jimmy Brown. And just Jimmy. That if Jimmy had been the only one sitting right here in this sanctuary, nobody else was here, God would want to have fellowship with Jimmy Brown right now. And I could say that about every one of us in here. You mean I'm that important to God? Have you ever just gotten alone with God? We are so afraid of silence in the 21st century. We cover our silence with music. That's okay. I love music. Doug knows I do. But we cover our silence. We are afraid to be silent and just listen. We've got to have something going on around us. When I was working on my doctorate, there was a lot of thousands of pages of reading and pages, hundreds of pages of writing. And I remember thinking when I got the syllabus for that particular course, how am I going to finish all this to get to writing my dissertation? And we, Connie and I and Michael and Bethany, were living in Hampton, Georgia at the time, and Michael got out there and helped me, and I built the swing, and we put out in the back one of these big swings, you know, that you can put three or four people in. And I built it for the kids, but I built it for Daddy. I built it for Mama, too, where we could sit out there together. But Connie will tell you, I spent hours in the backyard on the swing with books, reading. Why? Because it was quiet. Because I could just get alone with God. God is giving us the instruction. Here's how you do it. First of all, you got to intentionally do it. There's a command. The aorist tense in the Greek, we translate much like the past tense in English. But it's so much different. When you say in the English, I went to the store yesterday, what does that mean? I went to the store when? Yesterday. And then I could go on to say at 10 a.m. In the Greek aorist, which we translate in the past, it means not simply a definite something that happened back then, but something that's happening right now and something that will happen in the future. That's the aorist tense in the Greek. And he says, you come aside, then, now, and forever. So when Jesus pulled these men aside and he says, you come, you don't just do that for right now in your hectic schedule. You do that in your daily walk. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want a response here. How many of us in this room, and I'm asking you in your heart, took a break last week and just got along with God and was quiet? No music? No TV, no rat race of what had to be done in the next hour, and just sat and let God speak. I want to encourage you this week. One of the most hectic schedules that can happen is to a student. Because you're constantly got something on your mind, you're constantly studying, you're constantly preparing for this next particular item that must be done on the syllabus in a course or on an agenda that has to be done, a report or paper or whatever. And some of us get the same way. We have our list, our to-do list, and we check them off every day and whatever. I want to encourage you to not only do the command to come aside, but I want to encourage you to do the instruction. Come alone. It doesn't mean we can't have Bible study together as a group. Thank God for it. But ladies and gentlemen, don't get together in a group for Bible study if you hadn't spent time alone with God. Just you. You don't have to have an agenda. It may be 15 minutes. It may be in your car. It may be in your living room. It may be in your bedroom. It may be at your desk at school. It may be with your whatever, wherever you are, you can be alone with God. I have a tendency to get in my car and immediately turn on a CD player and listen to the choir music that Doug gives us. I'm learning not only to listen to that, boy, we have some great worship times with it too, let me tell you, but just to turn it off. And God and I just talk. And I talk to him like my friend, you know. And we have some great conversations because the older I get, the more God is teaching me, Randy, if you just shut up and listen, you'd be a lot better off. I need to listen to God more, don't you? Come aside. Come alone. But then there's the third thing I want to tell you about this morning. That was the instruction. But the third thing that we are to do is come to a private place. Come to a private place, the location. I don't know where that private place could be for you. You have to make that decision. Some people say, well, it needs to be the same place every day. I don't necessarily agree. Because, folks, I can be in a private place, and I have many times right there in my office. I've been in a private place in my car. I've been in a private place just simply walking in this sanctuary throughout the week and walking up and down these aisles. I know where you sit. And I'm glad I do, because I can pray for you, every one of you. I don't tell you that, pat me on the back. But I thoroughly enjoy walking up and down these aisles when nobody is in this building but me and stopping, knowing that Nancy's going to be right there every Sunday unless she's sick. And I can stop right in front of the word come on this screen and know she'll be somewhere in that area, and I can pray for Nancy Webb. I can pray for Rod and Peg Jean. Same way, just stop. I encourage you, you ever have some free moments and you want to come in the sanctuary, bring a coat. It's 60 degrees in here during the week, so we don't heat it up. But you might just want, and don't come when you've got a sick or cold. I don't want you to get sicker. But you're talking about an incredible experience. Just come in here with nobody else here, you and God, and just walk by where a place where somebody sat and pray for them. Only God knows, you may be praying for them at the moment. They need your specific prayer. Make your location private. Make it a deserted place. The word deserted in the Greek doesn't mean ghost town. Doesn't mean nothing around you. It means get alone to a private place where Satan cannot distract. Now, the number one thing Satan wants to do to all of us in this house is distract us. In worship, in everywhere we are, no matter what we'll do. You try to have this time where you get alone. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, it may be 30 minutes, I don't know. But you make an intentional effort to do it, and you mark my word, you write it down. It'll be the hardest thing you've ever done, because Satan will throw all kinds of distractions at you. The last thing he wants you to do is to come aside by yourselves to a deserted place with God. So you just be ready for that. And then we get frustrated so many times when we try to do things like that in our life and we don't understand what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Satan and the demons of hell that wants to prevent you from spending quality time and just listening to God. I tell you what, Connie says I talk too much. Y'all laugh at it. I guess that's true. Because I do. And I communicate with some of my minister friends on Twitter. And Twitter, and you can only write 160 characters. And Connie says, I don't see how in the world you can say anything to your friends in less than 160 words. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm getting to the point in my life where this old man has just got to be quiet and listen. And God uses those words, I think, just shut up, Randy, and listen to me. And that's how he gets through to me. He says, you just let me talk. You listen. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When I heard this one time from a pastor 40 years ago right here at this church, I went home and I was thinking, okay, I'm listening, God, talk. Didn't hear anything. Kept listening. Nothing happened. And then it hit me. God perhaps would not choose to speak in an audible voice. He might. Never know. But then right after that quiet time, you may be on the phone with someone, and that person just out of the clear blue says, you know, I just want to thank God for what you mean to me. Wow. Or you may be at the grocery store and that checkout lady or that man has had a day that is just destroying him. He's down and whatever, and you go in that checkout line and you say, I'm so glad you checked out my groceries. And he looks at you or she looks at you and all of a sudden there's a smile that gets about this big on their face because you've just made their day. God just spoke to you. Every time the Sweet Spirit singers go out to sing on Wednesday morning, I'll guarantee you God speaks to them. You ask any of them. Oftentimes, God doesn't choose to speak by voice, but He chooses to speak through the power of His Holy Spirit to right where you are. The problem is, we don't listen. And I put me at the top of the list. I get to going 90 miles a minute. You all know my schedule. You know how I operate like that. And I've got to stop and rest. It's the final thing I want to tell you this morning. It's the purpose of it all. And the first word there is come. And the last part of this verse, the Lord, why are we supposed to come? To do what? Rest. This is the most encouraging part of this verse. Now, folks, the rest here doesn't necessarily mean to sleep, to rest your physical body, though that's what God had in mind for those men, first of all, to give them rest physically. But folks, we miss the whole mark of the Scripture if we don't realize we just got to get along with God for the purpose of rest. And that word rest means to hop in the arms of Jesus. It means to jump up in God's lap and just sit there. It means to sit in front of God and just be quiet and let God speak through His Word, through ever how He chooses to speak to you in that moment and throughout that moment. And these are daily. This is not a one-time experience per day I'm talking about. This is constant with you. Whenever you have those moments, even in the middle of Town Center Mall with people all over the place, you can be alone with God. If your heart is that in tune, that's what Jesus is telling these disciples. Four spiritual things that the committed, sold-out child of God has to do, is commanded to do. And the first one of these for this morning that I've shared with you is to come along or come aside by yourself. Now, for me to stand up and share this with you and us do nothing about it would be futile. So this week, will you find yourself throughout the day having those moments, wherever they may be, where you put into practice this one verse? Mark it, cut it out of the bulletin, put it up on your mirror in your car or in your school or wherever you are and set it there and let that verse be just like a lighthouse for you this week. And in the midst of a day where things are just your head spinning, just say, hey, I got to remember what my preacher said. And then I got to remember what God said. I just need to stop for a few minutes. I need to turn off the soap opera. I need to turn off the news. I need to turn off the music. Nobody's in this house but me, Lord. So I'm just going to sit and let me just meditate on what you've done for me. You watch what God does. I'd love to hear about it too. Come aside by yourselves. The first command. I'll never forget, I was reading this week in preparation for a message, and I ran across Peter Kennedy's book called Devotions from 1st and 2nd Peter. And I was just looking through and looking at specific devotions, and I ran across this little story, and it says one of the greatest lion tamers and animal trainers of our time was a guy by the name of Clyde Beatty. He was a big game hunter who became a famous lion tamer beginning in around the 1930s. And he often appeared then, some of you may remember the name, in some of the film for the next 30 years. The guy was only, and I identify with this because I saw this, he only stood 5.5 foot tall. But Beatty had the courage and the mastery to go into a cage of 40 snarling lions and tigers, and he had only a whip, a pistol, and a chair. Now, the whip and the pistol were used only to get the animals' attention, not to harm them. But many people wonder, what good would a chair do against the tiger? I wondered the same thing, folks. It turns out, however, that the chair is the most important of the three tools of the lion tamer. You see, the tamer holds the chair by the back and thrusts the legs toward the face of the animal. And that animal then, that lion, tries to focus on all four legs at one time. And in his attempt to focus on all four, a kind of paralysis overwhelms the animal, and he becomes weak and tame because of his divided attention. Lions and tigers are not the only creatures affected by this problem. You and I tend to become unavailable to perform our duties when our attention is divided. Satan's ploy to stop you from spending time with God is to divert your attention like that lion is to that chair. And as a result, we become paralyzed, frantic, frustrated, and depressed. Folks, this week, when Satan comes at you to paralyze you, when Satan comes at you to divide your attention, you just sit old Satan down with the Word of God. Now, what does the Word of God do with Satan? It makes him flee. And you read to Satan. You just talk to him. Now, Satan, let me tell you and the demons of hell, here's what Jesus says. You just made him mad. And then you start reading the word, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there will be many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. You start reading the word of God to Satan, and what will Satan do? Skedaddle, we say in the South. He'll run. That's how you do it. Come aside and spend time with the God of the universe. Most incredible thing, he wants to spend time with me. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for simple message, simple verses that contain such meat of the gospel that you've taught us and told us about. And now, Lord Jesus, you call us to response. You call us to make a decision to do something about what we've said, what we've learned, how we've worshiped today. And Lord, you take full control. So it's time once again for us to make a decision. It's time once again for us to say yes to you. Lord, may it be so this morning. That is my prayer. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen and amen. This morning, as we sing that little chorus, I'll Say Yes, you know it by now. You can sing that even without the music or without the words in front of you. But I just want it to be a time where we just focus as we close this service and we just say, I'll say yes, Lord. Now, if you're going to sing that, then do what we said this morning. Do what the book says. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted, quiet place and rest. If that's your prayer, you do that this week and you watch what God does in your life. This place is open for prayer as our altar. Whatever's on your heart, we're all home folk in this house. And whatever's on your heart, I want you to come and do as we close this time together. Would you stand with us right now? Doug's going to lead us. You sing this as a prayer, your prayer to God. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Brother Doug?
I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your I'll say yes where you lead me. I will.